Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles today, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 13, reading verse 8, 9, and 10. Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit." Preaching for a few minutes on the subject, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Heavenly Father, again I ask that you help me to preach what I believe you've given me, but I'm asking for a touch from heaven, a spirit of conviction that would grip the heart of those listening to me. Please speak to their hearts. Please show them the things that they might be doing wrong or the things that they might be lacking in. Show them where you would want them to step up or to step away, or whatever the case might be. But I want a move of the Spirit in their hearts today. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for it. Furthermore, Lord, anyone that's hurting, anyone that's downcast or brokenhearted or is sick in their body, or so-and-so nephew or whatever got arrested last night, or whatever the case, whatever trouble the people might be facing, I know that you're the God that never fails. I know that you have not forgotten them, and I'm asking that you'd run to their aid and grant them their petitions. And Lord, we thank you. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen. Exodus chapter 30. Need to lay a little bit groundwork. We're continuing our study on holiness. Exodus chapter 30, verse 18. "Thou shalt also make a laver or lavatory of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein." Moving to chapter 38 of Exodus, verse 8. "And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." I did a study a number of years ago in the tabernacle. If you're interested in it, you can always go to my website. And every program that I preached on this station, you go to joeykelly.net. You'll find the radio show link. Click that. And everything that I've ever preached on this station for 9 and something years is there. You can filter by topic. If you choose the tabernacle, you'll see everything that I taught. Exodus chapter 25 to 40, I believe it was. I did an in-depth study, like I said, but one of the things that we understood from the tabernacle was that if you had sin in your life, and that's how we all start, we all start out as sinners. We come to God, and God said, "I want you to do it this way, in this particular place. These are the customs. These are the rules, if you like." but you would bring a lamb. You've got sin in your life. That lamb is innocent. We know that animals, they have no sin. They have no souls. What evil thing has a lamb done? You're the one with sin in your heart. If you lied or stole or whatever, whatever the case, but you bring that innocent lamb and you present it to the priest, and you and he would kill it. They would have a bowl, and the blood from the animal would be caught, and they would do something with the blood, would have you. But that lamb, after they had killed it and skinned it a certain way, they would take parts of it, most of it, I suppose, most of the meat, and put it on the brazen altar, and they would burn it. And you say that's cruel, and it's animal sacrifice, and how terrible, and I understand it was absolutely terrible, but it pointed to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, it says. He hung and bled on the cross of Calvary for you and me. We're the sinners. He's the Savior. He's sinless, just like that lamb. But he died for us. It's called justification by faith. We put our trust in him, and we go free. Just as Barabbas, he went free, remember, and they said about the Lord Jesus, crucify him instead. But the priests, they would kill these animals, they would do this and that, and they would get dirty. And before they went into the tent, it says, the holy place, they had to wash, and there was a place to do it, the brazen laver. It was a lavatory, a place to wash, but it was made out of brass. And brass, the same thing that the brazen altar was made of. We said when we studied that brass is a symbol of judgment. Again, we're sinners, but the wrath of God was poured out upon our Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. Judgment, God's anger and wrath towards sin, instead of falling upon us, and we being not able to pay the debt and going to hell, he died in our place. And I preach this again and again and again. But it's important to understand, again, we're studying holiness. You'd bring your lamb to the brazen altar, but the priest, he'd have to wash. And he did so in the brazen laver, the lavatory. It says it had water that was there. And it says that it was assembled in verse 8 of chapter 38 of Exodus, of the looking glasses of the women that were assembled. Back then, they didn't have glass per se. They had polished brass, polished copper, what have you. And to make this laver, they took up a collection. All the women gave up their mirrors. And they melted it down, and they made this lavatory from recycled mirrors. And that's important. When the priest would come to wash, he was washing in a basin made out of recycled mirrors. We understand a mirror, you look at yourself in the mirror. You look in that mirror, and you see yourself. And again, that's an important point. In Ephesians chapter 5, a familiar verse, verse 25 through 27, again from Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, which is what we talked about, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. And again, that's the same thing that we've said. Jesus died for us. And as we come to God, we are added to the church as we are saved. But when Jesus Christ comes back, he's coming back for a holy church, a sanctified church, one that doesn't have any spot or wrinkle or blemish, any such thing. I can quote some of the apostles, it says, and they would give a list of all the different sins, the works of the flesh, what have you. He says, don't do that. You were a sinner, but now you're a saint. You've got a new life in Christ. Let him that stole steal no more, the apostle said. We're to live holy. Again, we're justified by faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. But then we have to live the Christian life. I've been saved, now it's been 30, 31 years, something like that. I'm obviously a better Christian now than I was. I know more about the Bible. I know to do right, and I've stopped doing wrong. I've had a chance to grow and learn. But I fall into sin occasionally. I think things I shouldn't think. I say things I shouldn't say. I get involved in the things of the world, and the Lord has to pull me back, just like He has to convict you. I try to serve God. Hopefully you're trying to serve God, but you get dirty. Dirty thoughts. Maybe you have to work with somebody that cusses like a sailor. Maybe you have to work in a spot that there's nothing but sin and degradation. Or maybe you're a waitress and you have to sell beer and put up with drunks. Can't wait to get to church and feel clean again. But you see, you have to get clean. When you have an impure thought, you have to get clean. These priests, they were working in the temple, but they had to keep clean. And again, God made the brazen laver or basin for them to wash, made out of recycled mirrors. But going back to Peter, it's in John chapter 13. I could read the whole chapter, I suppose, and have a blast. I love reading the Word of God, but it says, starting at verse 4 and going to verse 11, speaking of Jesus Christ at the Last Supper, that He rose up from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself and poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. And there's a great lesson there. Further on, I won't read that, but it says that Jesus, after washing the disciples' feet, doing the work of servants, He said, I washed your feet and I'm the master. You, my servants, you need to go wash somebody else's feet. Wash your brother's feet. Serve one another. Love one another, etc. That's a great message if I had time to preach it. But it says that He was kneeling on the ground and washing the disciples' feet. He came to Simon Peter in verse 6, and Peter says, oh, no, I don't think so, Lord. You're going to wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 7, what I do now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. You don't understand what I'm doing, but you're going to in a little bit, a few days, what have you. And Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. He was embarrassed. The Master. Peter knew He was God come from heaven. He had been on the Mount of Transfiguration. He knew who Jesus was, and Jesus stooped, took off most of His clothes, put a towel around His waist, and knelt and washed the dust and grime and whatever. They didn't have Nikes back then. They had sandals. Peter was embarrassed. And he says, you're never going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If I don't wash you, you're not a Christian anymore, Peter. And I believe He says that to us today, but we need to understand what He means. Simon Peter said unto Him, Lord, okay, you're going to wash my feet? Well, not just my feet, but my hands and my head too. I mean, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. I want to take a bath, right? And Jesus saith unto him in verse 10, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Now this is maybe a little confusing. He says, I got to wash your feet, but just your feet, not your whole body. And the reason he gave was that the disciples were already washed. I got to wash your feet, but you're already washed. And I believe that there's a great lesson there. We talked a bit ago about justification by faith. That we're in Christ, positional sanctification. We're justified. I said last time, I believe, if you get saved on a Sunday morning, walk out of church and get hit by a bus, you wake up in heaven. You immediately go to heaven. I'm not any more saved today than I was November 30th, 1984, when I gave my heart to the Lord. I'm saved. I'm washed. Such were some of you, the apostle said, I believe it was Paul, but you're washed, you're cleansed, you're sanctified, what have you. I am washed. My soul's been cleansed. But as you walk through life, your feet get dirty. Again, you go to church on Sunday, maybe go to church on Wednesday, maybe read your Bible once in a while if you can, pray a little bit maybe. You're trying to live right. You're evidencing the fact that you're a Christian. James the Apostle said, if you have faith, fine, let's see it by your works. And you're demonstrating that. You're trying to live for God. But again, you have to go to work and the guy next to you, whoever it was, cuss, and talk about all the women he did and all of that stuff, and you don't want to hear it. You'd rather, since you're a Christian, not be around that. And you get dirty because you have to go to work and you have to put up with it. You're already washed, but you need to be continually washed again. Again, not your whole body. You're already saved. You're already in Christ. You're already on your way to heaven. But the dirt of the world that we walk through gets on us and we have to wash it off. But again, I want to come back to Exodus. It says that God told Moses to make a basin, a lavatory, made out of recycled mirrors. The preaching of the Word of God is of utmost importance. It says that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save the world. You know, I was reading on Facebook, somebody was saying something about whatever, some disaster in the world or whatever. And somebody asked the question, if God was so powerful, why doesn't He just fix the problem? If you want to talk about war in Syria and all those people, you know, they're cutting off heads and all that stuff. If God was so powerful, why didn't He snap His fingers and the war's over and ISIS is gone and everybody's safe? Well, He could do that, but He can't. Because men choose to go to war. Men choose to do things that are wrong. And until Jesus comes back and puts down all unrighteousness, the fact is war exists. But the answer is the preaching of the Word of God. I taught some time ago, I believe it was Nehemiah, that he showed us that we need to teach the Word of God to our congregations. He set up a pulpit, what have you. It says that he taught. He caused the people to understand. He took his time. He answered questions. He taught the Word of God. He was doing pastoral work and discipleship. But it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, starting at verse 14, And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses, and he gave it to Shaphan the scribe, and Shaphan the scribe took it to the king, and it says they read it before the king, And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. He tore his clothes. That's a Jewish custom. When someone dies, the way that they mourn is they will take their shirt and rip it. That's their sign of mourning. It's a sign of repentance, of remorse, of anguish, what have you. These were people that had forgotten the Bible, the law, the book of the law. They went about their religious duties and business every day, every week, every month, every year, but they forgot the Bible. And they found it. They were doing this and that, and they stumbled upon the book and said, "Whoa, what's this?" And they brought it to the king and read it. And the king, when he heard it, he was convicted and smitten in his heart. And it says later on that he says, we need to pray. Go to the prophet, what have you, and pray and ask God what kind of judgment is about to fall upon us. Because we've neglected the book of the law. And it says that he made a covenant with God, and he made all the people stand to it, it says. Made everybody say, yes, we're going to follow God. And it says that he served God the rest of his life. Again, he was the king, a son of Israel. And when he heard the preaching and teaching of the word of God, it did something in his heart. He saw where he had done wrong. He saw where he had been lacking. He saw where his nation had drifted from God. That laver, that brazen laver that the priest washed in was made of recycled mirrors. The word of God. We just read in Ephesians, the washing of the water of the word. The word of God, as we look into the pages, it reflects and we see ourselves. When I go to the Bible, I try to find Christ. I'll study the types. I'll reference this and that and put together a sermon and preach Christ crucified. Preach deliverance through his name. Preach all of these things. And that's good. That's right. But two, when I open the Bible and read, it shows me where I've done wrong. Again, that labor made out of recycled mirrors. I look into the Word of God and it shows me where I've done wrong. And as it's preached, it shows you where you've done wrong. That's why good preaching is necessary. Church attendance at a good church is necessary. Bible reading is necessary. Because it's God's way that we look into those recycled mirrors. We read the Bible and we see where we ourselves have done wrong. That's what you do with the mirror, right? You go wake up in the morning, you jump in the shower, you get out, you comb your hair. You stand in front of the mirror before you walk out the house, right? You want to see what's wrong with your appearance. You look in the Bible, it sees what's wrong with your appearance from God's point of view. What sins you've committed, that word you shouldn't have said the other week or whatever the case, the covetousness or whatever you've done wrong. You open the Word of God, it shows you what you've done wrong. And you need to repent. You need to acknowledge, Lord, that's wrong, and you need to say, God, help me, I don't want to do that no more. Please help. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's where we're at today. One more verse and I'll let you go. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Again, the preaching of the Word of God is preeminent in the church. To teach it, to preach it, to rightly divide it, to expound upon it, to use it, reproof and correction, it's profitable for these things, the apostle said. And it's quick and powerful, and it cuts to the heart. But if we don't hear it preached, and if we don't read it, it doesn't do us any good. And Jesus told Peter, "You may be washed, but if I don't wash your feet, if you don't spend time in the Word of God, gazing into those recycled mirrors to find out what's wrong in your heart and your life, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me." You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.